Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to WellFit Radio Chicago, brought to you live by Momentum Fitness and Health. Let us help you find yours. You have questions about health, fitness, and nutrition, and we have the answers. We are live streaming on blogtalkradio.com as well as on our Facebook page, Momentum Fitness and Health, and our private fitness page for members as well. You can listen live or archived anytime, and you can also find helpful videos at findingyourmomentum.com. My name is Jason Venkus, if you don't know already, and I am an award-winning and published certified personal trainer, health coach, and fitness nutrition specialist. Have you ever wanted to run further or go longer on a workout, but you can't because you're out of breath? You're having a hard time pushing yourself through it. Well, stay here today, and I'm going to help you learn some physical and mental tricks to push yourself to better, longer exercise. Learn how to build better endurance by using heart rate training in all phases of exercise. You're going to become stronger, faster, and more powerful by using an ally you may have never considered, your heart, or the strength of your own heart. By going longer, you're going to burn more overall calories each workout, burning more fat calories too, so keep it right here to learn out how to push yourself through these exercises. Now, many people tend to go out too fast for a run or pick up too much weight or intensity on a workout. I am one of those racers who starts out fast. But sometimes there are some physiological factors too, such as asthma, COPD, or smoking, that can cause you to get breathless sooner than you really want to. So there are two things that you can do to get that workout in without feeling completely exhausted or like you're dying the whole way. That's breathing cadence and heart rate training. Now, before I get into all that, there are some benefits to exercising while breathless. This is referred to as anaerobic exercise or without oxygen. The long list of benefits that include muscle strength, muscle mass, increased metabolism, increased VO2 max, highest amount of oxygen that your body is capable of consuming during exercise, decreasing DOMS, which is your muscle recovery soreness, improving energy, increased bone strength, improves joint protection, and lowers blood sugar. And just to answer your question there, Cynthia Venkus, that we use a phone as a microphone. I am using a phone in a church office. It is an older phone. But I'm trying a different office, so there's no sunlight in the back, so we'll see how this one works. So anyway, back to what we were talking about. But what if you want to run or work out longer with less fatigue? Okay, well, the first thing you can do is learn a breathing cadence. And just like anything else, not one single method or one single breathing cadence is going to work for everybody. Now, the first thing I learned from a trainer before I was ever one myself was that I needed to find my breathing cadence. And now, breathing cadence is simply the inspiration and or expiration of the lungs to the tempo or the cadence of the right or left arm or right or left foot movement. So how you're going to breathe in relation to the rest of your body's movements. It's kind of like Lamaze for runners and exercisers. But it's how you breathe with the motion of your body. And again, it's different for everybody. You have to find what's going to work for you. And even more so, even based on your exertion level. So how do you develop one or two different breathing cadences? Well, the first thing is to decide whether or not you're going to breathe through your nose or through your mouth. So you have two options. You can breathe through either one. Now, personally, when I start a run or a workout, it's the nose for me and then the mouth as it gets more intense. You also have the option to breathe through both at the same time. So the more oxygen that you take in, the better. The longer it's going to fuel you for your workout. Now, secondly, you want to decide where the air is going to go. Is it going to go in your chest or is it going to go in your belly? Breathing into your chest does not bring in the maximal amount of oxygen. Try it with me. Breathe into your chest. Probably don't feel like a lot's coming in, right? Now breathe into your belly. Now, did you feel like you took in more air? I know I did. So, lastly, you want to decide when to breathe in and out and in what pattern. So, first you figure out, are you breathing in through your nose, through your mouth, and where is that air going? Lastly, it's time to develop your pattern. Now, this is something you need to play with and find it on your own. Are you going to breathe in and out at every step or every move, every other step, every right side step or left side step? Are you going to breathe slow? Are you going to breathe fast? Or even breathing, or what I like to call staccato breathing, which I'll give you an example later. For me personally, I have two patterns, slow and steady for the beginning of the workout or run. So that's more of a in through the nose, out through the mouth. In through the nose, out through the mouth. Now, when I start to get gassed or when I start to get towards the end of a race or I'm trying to pick up my speed, I actually tend to breathe with what I call this staccato breathing. And it's more like a... So I'm kind of taking gulps of air in at a time. Now, that works for me. That may not work for you, but it definitely works for me. So find what works for you, either breathing in slow, doing the staccato breathing, or even just breathing real fast. So that's breathing cadence. Find out what works for you and let us know. Now, your second weapon is heart rate training. So if you want to avoid that breathlessness, heart rate training is a method of training your heart to do more and provide less stress on your body. Now, it's a matter of training in specific zones for certain goals. I'm going to get more specific a little bit. Now, as I mentioned, many people go out too hard or too fast and fade from the front. This is also a technique, but that's not for today's show. This type of training does require some equipment. This heart rate training does require some equipment. It can be affordable or expensive. It just depends on the bells and whistles that you want. You're going to need a heart rate monitor. So heart rate monitors, the best ones that you're going to get, are going to have a strap that goes around your chest. Anything else isn't very accurate. You can use the handles on a treadmill, but now you're not swinging your arms. So you're going to need to find something, and you can get these for as little as 100 or even less. It just does the basic functions of checking your heart rate. There's some other options, too, and I'll tell you those a little bit later. Now, when you work out using a heart rate monitor, you're going to aim to work out within a specific zone or hitting a zone. You've probably heard this before, zone training. Now, hitting a zone means that you're falling within a particular percentage of your heart rate or your max heart rate for every workout. For example, 65 to 80% for most of us or for most of your runs, and then like 90% or more as you're, you know, trying to do more like speed work type things. Now, for most of your workouts, your heart rate should fall into zones 1 or 2. That's going to help your heart rate, that's going to help train your heart to go longer, stronger. So zone 1 is typically 60 to 70%, considered to be very comfortable effort. Use this for warm-ups and cool-down. Your zone 2 is about 70 to 80%, comfortable enough to hold a conversation, and this is where you should do most of your training, right, in that 70 to 80%. 81 to 93%. This is comfortably hard effort. You should be able to say short, broken sentences, but not carry on a full conversation. Now, zone 4 is 94 to 100% or hard effort. The pace is sustainable, but conversation is a few words at a time. For most people around, this is a 5K pace. So that's where you're getting into more of your almost completely breathless. So, how do you find your zones? How do you know where you're at and where to train at? Well, you have to find your maximum heart rate first. So this can be done the old-fashioned way by taking 220 minus your age. However, this is wrong about 25% of the time. So you can also go to a reputable gym somewhere that you trust, and they will test you on a treadmill and have you breathe into a mask that's going to also take, you know, check your heart rate as well. You can also test yourself by running yourself. Warm up, then run as fast as you can evenly for about 3 minutes. Ideally, you want to do this on a treadmill, so it's level. Then rest with 2 or 3 minutes of gentle running, and then repeat your 3 minute maximum run. During your second run, you should get a higher maximum heart rate than any other method that you may use. So you're going to want to use your heart rate monitor to track that. There's also the Harvard Step Test and the Rockport Walk-In Test, which I'm not going to explain those, but you can look them up. That's Harvard Step Test, Rockport Walk-In Test. We do have the ability at our studio to do, just realize this isn't talking about it, to actually do a heart rate monitor test. So now once you've found your maximal heart rate, it's a matter of doing the math, or more math, really. So you want to find your resting heart rate. Lying still soon after you've woken up and take your heart rate. Ideally, you know, take an average over a couple of days so you get an average, not just, you know, one time. Now subtract the resting heart rate from your maximum heart rate. This figure is now your working heart rate. So, for example, if your resting heart rate is 56 and your maximal heart rate is 206, then the number you're going to work with is 150. So take whatever percentage of your working heart rate, that's that 150, your max heart rate that you did on the treadmill, minus your resting heart rate you took while in bed, and then you're going to do a little bit of an equation basically by figuring out the percentage. So if you're trying to find out what your zone 1 is, which is 60 to 70%, multiply that 150 by 0.6. And 0.7. Those two numbers are your zone 1 range. Do the same thing for zone 2, which again is 70 to 80%. And then zone 3, again, 81 to 93%. And zone 4, 94 to 100%. So now this way you have kind of, you found your zone, and now you can avoid, you stay in that zone 1 or 2, so you start building up that maximum heart rate, and you can avoid that breathlessness, and you can go longer. So, again, use your zones based on your goals. 60% for recovery workouts or runs. Long runs or workouts should be between 60 and 70%. So it's like 1 to 3 hour workouts or runs. If you're going to do some burst training, like we do at the studio, or interval running, you want to stay within about 70 to 85%. And about the same amount for hill work. So if you're going to run some hills, which if you live in the area that I do, there's lots of them. And that 85% puts you back at that anaerobic threshold. This is good for tempo runs, really, really fast runs. And then 90% and above, and you're pretty much getting into your race day speed, where you're pretty much, you know, going all out. So watch your heart rate when you're running or working out, and if you go outside of what your goal is for that workout, pull it back. Don't be afraid to pull back, especially when you're training. It's only going to help you either on race day or it's only going to help you for your workouts. It's going to help you in the long run, okay? Never worry about having to pull back, especially during training. So just remember to bring that back. So those are the two things that you can use. Use your zones, make sure you use your zones and all that, and then make sure you find your breathing cadence as well. Sorry, I'm checking my notes. I thought I skipped over a bunch of stuff, but actually we're good. So use that breathing cadence and find a breathing cadence that works specifically for you. So now before I leave you today, I'd like to go a little bit more into depth about the zones and a little bit more about, I already brought it up, the breathing mask. So there are two myths out there that I want to kind of address for you today as well. There's a myth that you burn more fat in zone 2 than any other zone. So it's kind of used by one particular company to sell more heart rate monitors so they can track it. So the problem is the science on it is a little bit flawed. So they're telling you that you should work out in zone 2 for maximal fat loss. But again, it's only half true. First, your body burns off mostly excess carbohydrates before it ever even gets to fat. You can't trick body into burning just solely fat before ever burning carbohydrates. Your body just doesn't do it. So here's the truth. You burn a higher percentage of calories from fat in zone 2. So you do extensive of total calories, but you burn less overall calories in zone 2 because your heart rate is lower, therefore you're not burning as many calories. So, burn a higher amount of calories, you're going to burn more calories from fat instead of a higher percentage. You're going to burn more overall calories. Don't look at the percentage. You want the raw number in this case. So, secondly, I already mentioned about the training masks. These training masks are the altitude masks, are supposed to simulate breathing at higher altitudes, breathing with less oxygen in the air. Air in higher altitudes has less oxygen in it, thus would put you in an anaerobic state much quicker. Boston is at sea level and has an air oxygen level of 20.9%. Aspen, Colorado is at 8,000 feet and is at 15.4% oxygen. Mount Everest, 29,000 feet with an oxygen content of 6.9. Anything below 8% won't sustain life. So supposedly these pricey little altitude training masks work by restricting the amount of available oxygen during exercise. I don't know how they're going to do that. It's really hard to remove oxygen from air without displacing it with something else. The problem is, you know, the science doesn't support this hypothesis, well, not completely. So in response to being at higher altitude, the body will transport more oxygen to the muscles through some different physiological adaptations, like increasing the number of red blood cells that transport oxygen around your body. Now, greater concentration of blood levels to shuttle oxygen to where it's needed, as well as a few other different adaptations. Basically, these all would really help performance in competitive endurance athletes. However, according to, I'm going to quote someone from bodybuilding.com, she's a writer, Sarah Ann Fairman, developing these takes weeks, even months of living and training at high altitude. Furthermore, by restricting oxygen, you're making your body work much harder at any given workload. However, I'd offer that the intensity and workload you could achieve without the mask would be much higher and allow for more adaptation than any training you would achieve. So it's actually going to hinder your training at the time. You're not going to be able to put out as much workload volume. Whatever your training status or goals, chances are you're looking to increase your fitness level. Train to improve your VO2 max, your lactate threshold, and your hydrogen ion buffering capacity. Resistance train to improve strength, power, and speed, all of which will improve your endurance performance. These actions all initiate beneficial adaptations, and none of them are enhanced by a training mask. So, save your money and go buy a Bane costume for Halloween instead. At least you're going to get the full outfit and you're going to spend less. Okay, so I've taken up about 20 minutes of your Friday, so I'm going to leave you with that. Should you have any questions that you'd like answered on our podcast, visit us online by visiting www.findingyourmomentum.com. And next week on WellFit Radio Chicago, we're going to talk about natural ways to satisfy your sweet tooth without the processed sugar. So until next time, I hope that you can find your momentum.
That's all.